Certainly a suitable mesecta for today. Next to the last day of Targa Pesach, still an opportunity to bring our Korban Chagiga, unless, of course, you hold it's Korban Tashlum El Rishon, in which case maybe if there's no Beis HaMikdash for Rishon, you can't be Mashon at the end. But in any event, certainly to learn Chagiga is brought in Svarim, but we should learn every Yanto Chagiga, because it's the only way to be Mekayim, when we shall not pour in Svartenu. Be Mekayim the Chiyuvim of Ria, which can't be Oila Lerega. You can read Mesechus Chagiga for the Chag. So, grand opportunity to begin Mesechus Chagiga on Daf Beit Amud Aleph, and in the Yerushalmi on Daf Aleph Amud Aleph. And we'll see that there's a major machlokas between the Bavli and Yerushalmi, at least according to most Rishonim, to how to learn this opening Mishnah, which colors really the way we learn all the Pesukim throughout the Mesechta. Before we begin, let me point out, because there's going to be Negea today, that there are essentially four separate Chiyuvim that the opening of the Mesechta revolves around. One of those Chiyuvim is the Shalosh Pamim Bashana, Yerayah Kozachorcha. There's a din of Ri'iyah. Ri'iyah, the Pashtu, it means to come up and to be Eilul Rego and to visit the Azora, which is a mitzvah on the first day of Yantar. However, there's also a korban that's associated with that, which is called the Korban Ri'iyah. And that is an Eila that has to be brought when one comes up and is given in its entirety, obviously, like any Eila to the Mizeah. And that is the same way that there was a Korban Eila on Har Sinai. The Gilui Hashkina itself is Mechayev, a response of Korban, which is Ri'iyah. The question as to whether those are two separate things, whether they're one thing, is the subject of the big machlokas in Yerushalmi and the Bavli here, whether Re'iyah means to be Re'iyah Sponim B'Korban, as the Rambam learned, or whether it's possible to separate the two. And we'll see there's a lot of nafiminas v'aloch. There's one mitzvah of Re'iyah Sponim and one mitzvah of bringing a korban when there is such a Re'iyah Sponim. The other, the third mitzvah, if we have a test too, Re'iyah Sponim, key of a korban Re'iyah, is a korban Shlomim that is brought also the same way that a korban is brought, and it's called the Chagiga. So that is the Chiyuv also that is brought when one comes up in Beit HaMikdash to bring not only a Korban Eila but a Korban Shlomi, in which there's a sharing of his Achila, so to speak, with the Achilas Mizbeach. Part goes to the Mizbeach, part goes to the Baal, which is why it's called the Shlomi. Shalom creates peace between both parties, like most restaurant forages and goat. That's what they're meant to do anyway, until it comes to who pays the bill, and which we'll discuss also later on, whether I got a proof with us for the bill, that's why should we bring the Chagiga from money that was meant for other purposes. So that's a shadow we'll talk about later. And then there is another chiyuv, and one could call it a chiyuv in the sense that it's a mitzvah kiyunit. It's not an absolute chiyuv, and that's called the Korban Simcha, which is also a shalomim. And the only time that one brings that korban is where there's not enough meat for him to eat. And he would have to eat meat from the supermarket. Meat from the supermarket is not considered to be simcha. You only eat a simcha siyantet with meat from Korbanos, and because of that, in case the Chagiga is not sufficient, there weren't things that you had to, you don't have now additional shlomim, there's a chiyuv of bringing a special shlomim lechoed the rego, which is called Korbanot Sukkah, which is there in order to be able to eat the basar of shlomim during the yom. So those are the four mitzvot. Now let us begin the mitzvah rishona, zarka helika mishnah. Kol chayavim b'ri'iyah. All are chayav in this mitzvah of ri'iyah. Now, Rashi simply brings over here the mitzvah of ri'iyah means Riyat Kozakurcha. The mitzvah, he doesn't talk about the korban at all. Whereas Tosis proves from many, many things in the Sugya that we're talking about the mitzvah of Riyah with the korban. But when it comes to Stam Riyat Panim, perhaps, at least this is the way the Yerushalmi seems to learn, everybody is high. As a matter of fact, the Yerushalmi departs very profoundly from our entire Sugya here in learning that women are chayav in Riyas Panim, and that is learned out from Hakel, and that when we say Kol Zechurcha is only a din in Avos HaKorban. But as far as Riyas Panim is concerned, there's no difference between every Yom Tov and the Chiyuv of Hakel, which is drastically different than the parshas of the Sugya here in the Bavli. And because of that, Kol Chayavim B'Riyan Yerushalmi specifically means the Korban Riyah. Now this has implications as well in other elements, as we'll see in a moment. So Kol chayavim beriya, chutz micheresh shoteh v'katan, tumtum v'androgynous. Over here, there's a specific ptur from the chiyav of riya to a tumtum and an androgynous. Over here, we're talking about, normally we would say, is a safek. And also, a tumtum is someone whose genitals are not exposed. There's been a flap of skin, basically the genitals have never gone to the surface. But it's easy to determine whether such person is a zocher and a kefir. We just haven't done so by doing a minor operation to expose the genitals. Nonetheless, over here there's a ptur. Doesn't seem to be an inyan of a safek. Androgynous, where there's a hermaphrodite, also could be that's in general halach. It's neither called zocher but a kefir. But again, we'll see what the marker is for this. Noshim ve'avadim she'inam meshukharim. Avadim who are mashma complete avadim and are not meshukharim, but we'll see them actually in mashmaut later. Achiger, somebody who is lame, and that's why we learned it out that regel. Regel means literally a foot. So if he doesn't have a working foot, then he's not chayev in aliyah regel. Asuma, somebody who is blind. We'll see whether that includes partially blind. V'hachole, who cannot walk around. V'azakein, somebody who's having problems because of his age and getting around. U'mi she'no yachol la'alot b'raglav, or anybody who cannot handle this type of distance. And we'll see in the Gemara what that adds to the Tigir Chayla V'Zoket. Ezeo Katan, what defines a Katan in this case? Ko she'no yachol lirkov al ktefav shel aviv v'la'alot mirushalayim l'harabayit. Ibrei Beit Shammai. So Beit Shammai says anybody, first of all, the chiyuv that we're talking about does not include the chiyuv of coming to Yerushalayim from wherever you are. That we'll discuss later. How did you get to Yerushalayim? I mean, what are we talking about? Being Potter, a guy lives in Be'er Sheva, he's a Katan. How is he supposed to get from Be'er Sheva to Yerushalayim? That we'll see. But the mitzvah is determined by the state of somebody who would be in Yerushalayim, in the Ir David. Now has to go up, which is not so easy, from Ir David to the Harabayit. What good is it to get to the Harabayit? He has to get into the Azor from the Harabayit. Here is a lot of discussion in which, the Tosfos Yontif says, once he already made the distance to the Harabayit, so now the additional stairs that he has to go up, that's already Mitzvah. If he can make it to the Harabayit. Okay, a lot of discussion about whether that's a reasonable approach. It was a very interesting measure of Chofna, and actually, the Or Sameach, who says that since the Rambam brings that the maximum expansion of the Azora is the entirety of the Harabayit, which cannot expand the Azora beyond that, so the Shiur was made to that maximal expansion. And it's not meant to be practical at all times and so on. In other words, we have to give a Shiur. After all, the din is anyway a din of Chinuch, as we're talking about the aliyah l'regel of a katan could only be in terms of chinuch. That's again the question whether we learn out from Hakel dinim of taf as well. That's something we'll have to see later on. I'll leave it to Yerushalmi. So since it's only the Rabbana, this is the way the Rabbana would convey the shir. So the shir is, but Yerushalmi asks on this, what is that supposed to mean? Any child can be held by his father. What is the shir of kol? There's no koshi or kol. I mean, the father puts a baby on there, he could take an infant also. So it's interesting. Shmuel is brought in Yerushalmi as saying that the kid knows how to jump on the shoulder. As he could spread his legs, not that you stop taking infant, put on the shoulder. You're doing all the work. The child is doing nothing. It means that the child can ride, giddy up horses. That's the, at that point, the child is already old enough to be considered an oilal regal, which has a lot of implications of relationships to parents and children. So this is now about the level of independence of the child is to use the father as a horse. But that's also a level of independence. It's interesting, yeah, interesting. So, we're Beit Hillel on Reim, no. That doesn't count. It's koshen yachol lechoz biyadav shel aviv. I mean, atkedekav giddy up horsey. You want to hold on to his hand and walk together with daddy, okay, that counts. But not being dragged up on his back. So that's considered to be already, if he's not able to do that, even though he could have gone on the back, and he can't walk on his own 2 feet holding on to his father and getting up there from Yerushalayim to the Harabayit, that already is somebody who would be potter. And, interesting Rashi, there is no chiyuv of chinuch on his mother and father. This is a big, big Rashi, because of course a lot of shittas hold that the din of chinuch is a din that comes out of the halach of Talmud Torah, therefore it's not chal on nashim. Rashi says over here, beferish, aviva imo, both on the father and the mother to be mechanech once he could hold on to his father's hand for the aliyah. Again, it's interesting, according to Rishonim, there shouldn't only be the father. The mother would also be fine.
Is implied here an ability for the child to articulate the desire to ride or to be taken?
That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says the
physical ability.
Yeah, to use it. And you could see this, says Beit Hillel, Shenemar Shalosh Regalim. Let's say Regalim. Well, it doesn't say Shalosh Pa'amim. There's 3 feet. So here's your 3 feet. You got your own 2 feet, and that's foot. You're holding out the bush. That's not really what it means. But it's a din in regal, so to speak. It's a din in. No, that wouldn't count. No. As a matter of fact, that would be a chibur to Moed Koton. I forgot to say that, actually. One of the meanings in the in Vaila Chavila, I forgot this one, I said three, not this one. One of the meanings of Vaila Chavila, woe to a guy who's been carried like a potato sack. There's another Koshevi who's dragging him around like a bag. Vaila Chavila. Another way of looking at it. Anyway, back to it. Yeah.
Over the past year, the yeah. road, not only from the bottom of the earth that we talked about now, it goes along the higher lines, west out, and far middle.
That's an interesting point that Rabbi Neir is speaking about. When you say from Yerushalayim, what point in Yerushalayim is meant? It's a very interesting thing. I'm so glad you raised it. The Yerushalmi has a shita that from Yerushalayim means from the Shiloh. So he has to be able to go from the Shiloh up to the Har HaBayit. Oh, now the Shiloh, of course, is not only in Barnea's neighborhood, it's in his living room. That's right. I mentioned that. That's yes. The question why that should be the Shir Arabayit. There's additional stairs that you're going to have to go from there on to the Azorah. Why don't we say he has to be able to get all the way in? Because only Mekayim the Mitzvah in the Azorah Guf. Okay. There's a number of other Pratim.
With Lulav, all of Yerushalayim, according to Rambam at least, according to all of Yerushalayim counts as.
Right, but that's not the Shechina. In other words, the Riyas Ponim is in the Azorah Guf. A further machloikas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai omrim hari'iyah shtei kesef v'achiyagigah ma'a kesef. The Rabbanim were kiveya a shiur for the korban, even though the Torah didn't give us a shiur. That the according to Beit Shammai, in typical Beit Shammaiian fashion, the oila that you're not going to have any share in, that you pay 2 kesef. The chagiga that's yours is only, you have to only pay a ma'a kesef. Whereas Beit Hillel omrim in the contrary, hari'iyah ma'a kesef. What is brought for the Azora, that you only have to pay 1 ma'a, you know, a sixth of a zuz. And a chagiga shtei kesev, a chagiga which has 2 achilos for the human, so to speak, and for the mizbeah, that is double the shir to indicate the 2 achilos. We'll see in the Gemara and the discussion between them. Now, whenever the Mishnah uses the word hakol, what is that adding, hakol? It's adding something that you wouldn't have expected, perhaps. What is the hakol in this case? La tiyemai. You could simply say, but no, that everybody else is chayav in the riyah. So in the hakol, it's got to add something that is not so clear. And our first take on this is that it's latuyim mishet chetzio eved v'chetzio ben forin. So somebody who is a partial eved, since he's partially free, so he is nonetheless chayav in the riyah. But wait, and what would Ravina do with this? Ravina d'ama mishet chetzio eved. How about if you learn out, and see, he learns it from the Pasuk, et pnei ha'adon Hashem, mi sheyesh lo adon echad, if somebody has God as his master, but somebody who's got the boss as his master, besides God, such a person doesn't have a relationship to Adon Hashem. Therefore, says Ravina, essentially he's patur. So what would the hakol, according to Ravina, come to add? Hakol latuye mai. Latuye higer biyom rishon, v'nit pashet biyom sheni. According to this, it would come to include somebody who was at the first day, which is the Yikr Chiyah, he is incapable of walking. And so we said earlier that such a person is potter from Re'iyah. If he's cured now on another day of the Yom Tov, or let's say on the second day of Yom Tov, so then it's coming to tell me he now is chayev in Re'iyah. Ah, but this raises a major point of contention later on, which is, how do we view the makeup time? We know that there are tashlumim, even on Atzeres, we know that there's tashlumim. Someone who doesn't bring the carbon beyond Rishon brings the carbon over the next days. But how do we view that tashlumin? Does that tashlumin mean that if one was chayav on the first day, so then one has an opportunity to make it up for the next 6 days? Or does tashlumin mean if one was not able to have the Iker Chiyuv, there is a lesser Chiyuv on the following days. In which case, the fact that he wasn't Chayav on the first day doesn't mean that he can't make it up. So if you learn Heini Chalamandi Omar, if you're going to learn that the meaning of the Dinim of Tashlumim is that Kulam Tashlumim Zelazeh, each one of the days of the Chag is basically an opportunity to have a Chiyuv and a mitzvah on its own if you didn't get a chance to do it earlier. So then fine, I understand. If he was Hider B'Yom Rishon, he becomes Chayev B'Yom Sheni, and that's a big Chiddush in the Mishnah, the Hakol. Even though there's no reason to make up for something that you were never Chayev on, there's a new Chiyuv each day, and that's the sense of Tashlumim. But suppose you hold L'man Yomar Kulan Tashlumim D'Rishon, that the idea of Tashlumim is that there remains one day of Chiyuv for which you can make up your lost opportunity. But you don't get a new opportunity. So if you were never Chayev on the first day, there's nothing to make up. I can't make up something I'm not Chayev on. So there, Hakol could not include somebody who was lame on day one and now became capable of walking because it's too late. There's no Tashlumin where there was no initial Chiyuv. So then, how would we learn Hakol? Hakol Latuyemai? Well, perhaps Hakol would come to tell me, Latuye Suma Bachat Mi'inav. Since we have a machloket later on, there is a Mandiyomar who holds that any limited blindness is sufficient to potter a person from Re'iyah and the Azara. So if he only has one working eye, despite the fact that he could see, there's no Chiyuv of Aliyah L'Regel, the Mishnah's Chiddush would be to tell me not to think that. Hakol, even someone who only has one eye, is nonetheless Chayev. The Deloki Aitana, which would be against the following Shita, Titania Yochanan ben Dahavai Omer, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Suma Beachat Beinav, Patur Min Hari'iyah, that someone who is blind in one eye has no Chiyuv of Ri'iyah, Shenemar Yera'eh Kozechurcha. But that Yera'eh, of course, is written just Yudresh Aleph Hey, which can be read just as easily, Yera'eh Kozechurcha. In which case, it means, Kederek Shabbat, Leiraot, Kachba Lirot. That's how Tosfos reads it. He doesn't agree with what Rashi seems to say, although there are other ways of understanding Rashi. But Rashi seems to say that if we would read it Yir'eh, would mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to see you, and so too do you come to see. However, Tosfos learns it means that what we do is we do the proper kri first. So Yira'eh, Yir'eh. That is Kederek Shabbat, Leiraot, Kachba. So just like Leiraot, Leiraot means to be seen, and never talks about coming to see directly. It says Leiraot, so that means you are the object of the seeing. If you are the object of the seeing, so that it means that God will see you with a perfect seeing, so to speak, with two eyes, with both his eyes. So too, the other indication that there is a Re'iyah on your part, that you should see the Azara, Re'iyah, that's also Shteinav, and if you don't have Shteinav, then you're not included in that common denominator of Yera'eh Yir'eh. So then that would mean the Mishnah is specifically against understanding the Pasuk in that way. Or, you know what the truth is? It's not really such a problem. And go back to the way we understood it originally. That Mishchetz Yoheved V'chetz Ben Chorin is what's being included over here. And what about Ravina? It's not a problem. When Ravina darshan the Pasuk and showed us that there was a p'tur on a Mishchetz Yoheved V'chetz Ben Chorin, which is the opposite of what it's saying over here, Hakol, that there's a Chiyuv, that's not a problem. Because the truth is that there was a change, a historical change, in the status of a Chetzi Eved Chetzi Ben Chorin. It used to be that a state of Chetzi Eved Chetzi Ben Chorin, let's say, two people bought an Eved Kanani B'Shutafu. At this point, he becomes Chayev in mitzvot like a woman, because to own an Eved is only where the Eved agrees to become an Eved as a Jewish Eved, and is total. You're not allowed to make an Eved out of someone who doesn't wish to be an Eved L'Yisrael. So we ask him, as the Rambam says, Ritzoncha liyot min abdei Yisrael ha-kesherim. If he agrees, and there he goes to the mikveh, and his table, the shame, a gerus of abdei. If one of those people ended up giving a get shichrur to this eved, so now this eved is partially free and partially bonded. So now he's a little bit in a problematic state on two levels. One level is problematic is in terms of the simple financial consideration. You know, what could such a person do to lead a life if somebody else owns half his rights? So basically it means that at all times he's likely to be interrupted by someone who says, okay, I need you for something, you'll have to stop your trading activities now, but I got $1 million. I'm sorry, sir, we need you to haul water. And that's not exactly an easy situation.
I'm sorry, sir.
Well, he's speaking to the tzad favorite.
Ah.
Okay, the other tzad is, of course, is that he runs into halakhic problems. Halakhic problems are an eved is allowed to marry certain women that a ben choron isn't allowed to. The ben choron is allowed to marry certain women that an eved is not allowed to. So now, how exactly is he supposed to proceed with his life if he's got two separate identities? I'm speaking about schizophrenia. This guy's really got a problem. So because of that, changes were made that were mandated by the Chachamim that have legal force and that therefore change the legal status of such a person. So there was a Mishnah Rishayna, which was stated earlier, before the times that we made the Takana for such a person, and we tolerated such a semi-Avdut state. And in Arfinami, Ravina was correct on that level, according to the Mishnah Rishayna, which is not our Mishnah, that a Chatz Yevan and a Chatz Ben Chorin would be Patur. And indeed we'll see that that is the meaning of the later words in our Mishnah that says, Va'avadim she'inam mishuchrarim. Because if you want to talk about full avadim, you could simply say avadim. We understand that means an eved. Avadim she'inam mishuchrarim seems to be saying an eved who is not fully mishuchrar is nonetheless patur. In which case the Mishnah contradicts itself. If we learn hakol means you're chayev. And indeed we accept the contradiction because we know that the Mishnah was pieced together of earlier snippets which were before the takana for a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin in which such a thing was allowed, and our general klal is that we bedavka include within the Mishnayot the historical development of the halacha in order for it to be, as the Gemara says elsewhere, why do we have sometimes a das yachid, and why do we mention a machlokas where we know that the halacha is not linked, so on and so forth. The Gemara says we want to preserve that process, and we want you to know when you run across alternative deyot that this is the sheet of so-and-so, which we don't pass in life. So part of the clarity is to see the development, otherwise you get completely lost. And therefore, the Mishnah Rishayna indeed is embedded later on, and that's like Ravina will explain later that a Chatz Yevet Chatz Ben Chorin is potter because he's not able to relate to the Odin Hashem. But the Mishnah Acharona, which is represented in the beginning of our Mishnah, where Hakol includes a Chatz Yevet Chatz Ben Chorin, that is the result of later developments. It's not. We find actually the story in the Mishnah itself. Misha Chetzio Evet, Bechetzio Ben Chorin. What does he do from a finance point of view of financial consideration? Well, he's Oveda. What he should do is, and this is the solution, says Beit Hillel, we fixed it. Because even though theoretically the Adam could at any time come and say, I need you now, what we do is we break it up so that we give rights to the Adam for one day, and then we alternate days giving him complete rights. So at least that way he knows, let's say on Sundays and on Tuesdays and on Thursdays he's free to do whatever he wants, and the other times he's under the hand of his remaining adon. Says Beit Shammai, well, that's a brilliant solution, but it doesn't work. Tikantim et Rabbo, it's all very nice. I mean, so as far as the owner that's left is concerned, okay, everything now is good for him, because he can at least finance, he doesn't have to deal with anything else but finances. So he knows when he's got this guy. You didn't help out his life very much, because all you did for him is give him a chance to make a living. But at that small tikanta, but his essence, you haven't fixed it all. Because how's he supposed to get on with his life? Lisa shifcha ino yachol. He cannot marry a shifcha, because he's partially a ben chorin, and a ben chorin can't marry a shifcha. And bat chorin ino yachol. He cannot marry a free woman because he's partially an Eved. And an Eved is not allowed to marry a free woman. A free woman can't marry an Eved. So what's he supposed to do now? Leave Till? Is he supposed to not get married? Is that not the whole point of creation? Is that it should develop? God did not create this world to leave it empty. He created it for it to be settled down. Therefore, says Beit Shammai, Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam, Kofin Et Rabo, V'Oseh Oto Ben Chorin. We have the ultimate eminent domain in this case, which is called Tikkun HaOlam. The world has to function. And part of the functioning of the world is to provide opportunities for reproduction. Therefore, we in this case exercise that eminent domain, force the Rav that remains to free him. So he said, but what about the money? Kotev lo shtar chatzdamav. The Eved has to commit himself to paying that back, and he's got now legal access to his salary and so on in the future with a shtar. And now he's a free man, and he can marry any woman that a free man can marry.
Why did he become a slave in the first place? Because he couldn't pay back the debt.
No, we're talking about an Eved Kanani. Eved Ivri wouldn't have had the problem at all. An Eved Ivri can marry anybody, which is in fact does his kasha. Why can't the free tzad sell himself as an Eved Ivri? Then he would be allowed to marry from both ends. Both parts of him would be allowed to marry a shifra, because an Eved Ivri is allowed to marry a shifra. So there is a way out of this. And it seems nasty to force the Odin to free him when there's something that he could do.
Yeah.
He is an Ivri. Half of him is an Ivri. So sell that half.
Once you're out, you're out.
What does that mean? He's out as an Ivri. So why can't the Ivri sell him? Okay, so Tosfos a number of perushim. First of all, if he hasn't been b'kayem for Ivri, we can't give him a shifcha. And the Ivri doesn't get a shifcha except if it's part of his work to generate children for the Odin. But if he doesn't have yet a kiyam of Piri of Arivia, then he doesn't do that kind of work either. So he doesn't marry a shifcha. They're the Odin's kid. They're not miyuchas. That's one teretz. Another teretz says Sam. A ger is not nimkar. Even as a ger is not nimkar, so have an Ivri. Because in the din of Eved Ivri, it says v'shavel mishpacho, and you can't say about a ger v'shavel mishpacho. So obviously he's not included in the whole thing. And there's some brilliant issues that come on over. This is a classic minchas minuch kind of sugya. He loves these splitting things into two separate parts. But the question is that he asks, if you have a mixed offspring, which is now partially sus. Let's say, right, a pered. So it's partially sus and partially chamor. Now you can have a pered from either the male sus or female chamor, vice versa. The Gemara says that pered can only be matched with something similar to it, because otherwise it's kelayim. So it has to be a genetic match, mother, father, depending on the species. But once you have that, you can mate it to another pirna. It's not called mating kelayim. Normally, you're not allowed to mate kelayim. As time is going, so this guy basically should be able to mate with something like him, because that's not a... If he's got a woman who's the same mix, it should work in the same way, say that genetically each side mates with its similar side. So we should say over here, each side mates with a similar side. A classical question of clarifying the elements of kilayim versus fiyuvim. Okay, so to speak this out, obviously there's no real comparison between these two things. All right, there's also other issues which are...
Given him a status on one day, he's like, one day.
Oh, that's a very interesting thing. The Ksais actually talks about that at length and proves many in Yonim that this element, the Kantanet Rabo Yom Echad, can only be financial, which is why I spoke it out in terms of finances, because he says it's impossible for Kedushat Yisrael to be turned on and off. Because once it's Chal, there's no way to be Mafkia. How are you Mafkia Kedushat Yisrael to turn back at Eved Nani? But there are kashas on the Ksais, actually the Mashmaut in Yerushalmi, is that it is possible to turn it on and off. There's a lot of discussion about how to learn the Yerushalmi in a way that would be consistent with what the Sugya seems to be assuming here all along, but that's a very good point. Because the Yerushalmi talks about terms of Kiddush. That seems to be Nogia Kiddush Yisrael. However, the question is whether Kiddush is actually a din in Kinyanim, in which case it's financial consideration. That's basically the approach that's used. But very interesting Sugya here. This is marvelous.
If they get married on their slave day, it's going to be cop.
That's the question. This is a very rich sugya. Other issues. why can't he marry a mamzeres? I'd have it as mutter and a mamzeres. So let him marry a mamzeres. And then about Jerry's mother, and then he decided his mother. What's wrong? So it says, ain't nothing on me. But we're not just interested in kids. We're adults. I mean, the solution to a world that doesn't have kids is not to have a lot of mamzeres. Enough of those. Going to make a
tacos.
Yeah. I mean, remember, Manzerim doesn't have that money.
No, I understand.
You know, let's have it for the best, or right. Shakespeare put it, you know. It's basically in a suspense. Okay. Then there's also another question, that he wouldn't be allowed to sleep with his own wife because there would be an Eishes-Ish problem. In that the part that can make the Eishes-Ish is this halacha that has kinyonim as a Jew. But then the other half of him will be sleeping with an Eishes-Ish. That's an old question of whether there's a din of Eishes Ish on one's own Ish. It's also, as I said, this is marvelous. It's got enough to feed the Minchas Finos mill for half a year. There's also one very other interesting question. The raya that the Gemara brings is from Lo Sov Ra'ah L'Shevet Yitzara. Why doesn't it bring the mitzvah period of Arivia? So the Pashtas, one would say, doesn't mean the mitzvah period of Arivia, because the Eved is not Chayav in period of Arivia, because an Isha isn't Chayav in period of Arivia. But that's not so partial, because how about, again, this is a classic Minchasina question, how about in the issue of cutting his beard? A woman is not Chayav in cutting her beard off.
She's allowed to grow it.
She's not, well, not to her husband, but she's not usher in using a razor to remove her beard. So would an Eved Knani be usher in using a razor to remove his beard, since he's only chayav in the mitzvahs of an isha? Or are there differences in the mitzvahs that are per sex? The bottom line is he's male, not female. We're all saying shanisha chayevet bo. So here again, the question is, since the tour of an isha for period of Ariva is v'kiv shua, and it's not the derech of women to go out in the army, this, by the way, you know, is the Satin Rose classic. Why is it that women have to go out to fight in the Israeli army? They said it's obviously a Zionist idea to pass on Malchus Beisdavid. The Isser of Amon Umoya, Advar Shalokid Mues, why is a Moabiyah Muteret? We Barashim from the fact it's not the Derech of the Isha to go out, and therefore she, but if you learn that an Isha is part of the army, so then she is Chayev and Vikiv Shua, and it would be the Derech of an Isha, in which way it was also for David to come from Muta Moabiyah, so he's also from Malchus, and now the Zionists can take over. Brilliant. Okay, question is, did he really mean it? It was a partial tongue-in-cheek. But that's interesting. The other major, major thing that comes, this is really very, very nugget. This is the shaila, is what is the mitzvah period of Arivia? That is an amazing question, because Tosfos says over here, what is the problem? If there's a chiyuv of period of Arivia, why isn't the chiyuv asay of period of Arivia deicha the iser of sleeping with a shifcha? You said that tzad cheirut shibo, is chayiv in period of Arivia, has a problem in that he can't reproduce because he doesn't have a woman to reproduce with. But that's only the Isser marrying a Shivcha. If he's going to be Makayim, the mitzvah period of Arivia, then it should be Deicha, the Isser of not marrying a Shivcha, because Esa is Docha Lotasa. Here comes Tosfos' classic solution, which has tremendous implications. We just have to go through Ari for the Sefer HaMitzvah. And if you get this Tosfos, everybody misunderstands and uses it in the wrong way. But anyway, the Tosfos says, because you're not Makayim, the mitzvah period of Arivia until ejaculation. But in order to get to the point of ejaculation, you're going to have to do things that are usher. And therefore, the insertion is usher, because the mitzvah, the chiyuv of Esed Ogalosa says only if at the moment that you're doing the mitzvah, so then the you're also doing the Avera. But if you do the Avera before doing the mitzvah, it's all right, so you start sleeping with a shivcha. At that moment, you're not yet doing a mitzvah. In which case, so again, they bring riots from that. Why not say that he'd only be Mekayim the mitzvah if she actually gets pregnant? Why does he say ejaculation? I'm a monoshah. If Lamaisa were saying, well, you do what you gotta do, so then that would include everything. I mean, so why does it happen? Again, big question, what defines the moment of the mitzvah period of Arivia? This is the Mokar for the famous Pesach. This daf is very, very rich in a lot of sugyas. Okay. Chozru, after Beit Hillel heard that argument, indeed, Chozru Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel says you're absolutely right. And they were meira halacha that the Adain, who still retains Ba'alut, is forced to release him. Since he's forced to release him, even while he hasn't released him, it's no longer considered that he has another Adain. Because an Adain is only someone who can assert himself over you. If this Adain attempts to assert himself over this Eved, the Eved simply goes to court and sues him. He says, this guy's not being Mekayem Halacha, frame me. Therefore, at that moment, his legal status is irrelevant to his Ptur. Because for all of this, how Rashi understands it, for all intents and purposes, at that moment, he's, once we made this Takana, he no longer has another Adon. This is also has very many applications. La Halacha is a Ba'alut that is non-assertable legally, is such a Ba'alut considered to be Ba'alut Bichlal, or do you have to come on to a special pasuk over here in terms of Adnut? This is no gay on legal rights for intellectual property if it's not assertable legally, or you can't exercise the Ba'alut in practical terms. It's all part of this sugya. Chutz mecheresh shoteh v'katan. Now note, says the Mishnah, that the Mishnah makes a point of putting together the cheresh together with the shote of the katan, which is part of our normal phrasing. So therefore, it has very important implications, because katan cheresh dumya the shote of the katan. By putting it together in this way, what you're telling me is that the problem of the cheresh is the problem of the shote of the katan. In other words, hafraot, or immaturities in the utilization of rational capability. That's the problem. So in other words, a shote and a katan are limited in da'at, so since they have a din, the lav b'nei de'ah, where they're lav b'nei de'ah, they are potter. That means that the problem of the cheresh, if we list it in this fashion, must also be that he's a lav bar de'ah. If he's a lav bar de'ah, then it cannot be referring to a literal cheresh. It has to be referring to a halachic cheresh, because there's no reason for us to say that someone who cannot hear does not have da'at. I mean, if the guy is capable of talking to you and has learned basically connection to the world like anybody else, why would he be considered to be mechusar da'at? And therefore, this proves what we know is a brayta that says it very clearly, that we're talking about over here, that kiditznan cheresh adibur chachamim b'chol makom. As a Mishnah says, whenever we use the word cheresh, we're always referring to someone who is eno shomea ve'eno medaber, who is incommunicado, who doesn't hear and also cannot speak. But if he's medaber ve'eno shomea, or shomea ve'eno medaber, in either of those cases, if he can speak or if he can hear, he would be chayev in re'iyah, and there's no problem of the specific issue of inability to hear or inability to speak in terms of re'iyas pani, whereas there is a problem of seeing, there's no problem of hearing. And this, by the way, fits in very well into the whole concept of da'at. That da'at is not simple intellectual capability, it's a specific element of the intellectual, which is the connectedness that mind provides to reality. Therefore, it requires connection. It requires an ability to communicate, and it has to be at least to be able to hear or to be able to speak. Non-communication is disconnect, and that's exactly why it's defined by puberty. Non-sexual capability is a disconnect, and therefore the child, no matter how smart he may be, is not capable of this particular thing called da'at, right? So we don't measure da'at by IQ tests, we measure it by pubic hairs, which normally would be a strange way of measuring da'at, since there's an awful lot of people with pubic hairs that are total idiots, and an awful lot of very intelligent children that are prepubescent who are quite a pleasure to talk to in terms of their rationality. But the element that we look at over here is dafke chibur. And so, this case, this is like the somebody, Tana Rabbanan, as the Braita points out, medaber ve'no shomea. Technically speaking, the word in Lashon HaKodesh for somebody who could speak and not hear is called a cheresh. Not in the Mishnah, though. Shomea ve'no medaber, someone who can hear but is incapable of speech, is called an ilein. Zeh ve'zeh arein kipikhi. Halachically speaking, both have every din of a normal human being.
This is speech and not necessarily communication.
that's not 100% clear. There's a lot of discussion about communicating with the computer, writing, and so on. Whether that's considered to be communication, mamish. Elaine? Okay. Both are kapikrim l'chol divrei. This is very, very no gea halach alamais. Umimai de medaber ve'er shomea zeo chere shomea ve'er medaber zeo elaine. How do you know that we should split it in that that way, it's a pasuk. Ani kecheresh lo eshma uchilaim lo yiftachi. Makes it very clear. I am as a deaf man who cannot hear, and like a dumb man who cannot speak. So there you see the word cheresh ilaim. Or the truth is, the word ilaim, iboitem bekda amri imshin. It's popular way of referring to ilaim is ishtakel milule ilaim. Ishtakel, it has been removed to his verbal capability, milule. So his words are gone. There you have the very word is a reference to the state of mind. Medaber ben shomea sheino medaber, shomea ben medaber, both of them are chayev. And here we run into a problem, because indeed the Braita says that that's not the case, and that a medaber ben shomea and a shomea ben medaber is putter. So if we're going to learn that the Mishnah is contextually telling us that the cheresh that is being referred to here is a technical cheresh who has neither speech nor hearing, so then how do we understand the Braita that says that actually this is a unique halacha and aliyah l'regel is dependent on one's ability to speak and hear? Omravina vite marova, what we're going to have to say is that the Mishnah has elements in it that are chaser. The Mishnah did not mean to stress dafka, the chiyuv of re'iyah. The Mishnah was using re'iyah as a shortcut to the other chiyuvim, including the mitzvah of simcha. And therefore, what the Mishnah meant to say was, hakol chayavim b're'iyah u'besimcha, chutz micheresh ha-medaber ve'eno shomea, shomea ve'eno medaber, partur min ha-re'iyah. But even though he would be partur min ha-re'iyah, in this case, he would still be chayev b'simcha. So if he's a one way, so let's say if he's now a cheresh medaber v'ena shomea, or a shomea v'ena medaber, you're right. The Braita says such a person is partur min ha-re'iyah. That's like the Braita. But the part that the Mishnah is talking about is the residual chiyuv, is that is a chayev b'simcha. But the chain of lo shomea v'lo medaber, that's what's written together with the sheit of the katan. There, together with the sheit of the katan, there would be a complete tour, and they would be partur even from the mitzvah of simcha, because indeed they're potter from all mitzvahs. Simcha is not different than any other mitzvah. So all upturim mikol mitzvot amurot b'Torah. But the special halachas, and the Gemara is going to ask tomorrow, well, where do we get the idea that there's a difference between re'iyah and simcha? To potter only a cheresh who is not an ilaim, or only an ilaim who is not a cheresh, to potter them from the chiyuv of re'iyah, that we'll see. The pashtus one would think it's together. And therefore we're forced to say, because of the braita, that our Mishnah is actually split into two parts. And the contextual part is a reference to the simcha element, and the Mishnah is saying, look, if he's eino medaber v'eino shomea, then he's not chayav in anything. Any of the things that was maramis. Even the simcha part. But I'm not telling you now that you need to have the contextual cheresh that's going to be potter from re'iyah. Re'iyah, he might be potter even if he lacks either the capability of speech or the capability of shmia, to be continued. Hakol chayavim b're'iyah chutz b'cheresh shayt v'katam mitzvot v'an drogas v'dash v'avadim shenu m'shukhorat achikar v'asum v'achil v'azakin mishen yochol alot v'raklam. Ezeo katan koshen yochol v'kov ha'ktifat shel aviv l'alot mirushalayim l'arabayit, Hebrew Beit Shammai. ובית הלל אומרים קושן יכול לאחוז בידו של אביו לעלות בירושלים לרבית שם שלוש רגלים משמפית ושמי אומרים הראייה שתי כסף חגיגה מוה כסף בית הלל אומרים הראייה מוה כסף הראייה שתי כסף הכל עטוי ימי עטוי מי שחצי עבד וחצי בן קורין זה עושה חיה. And what about the רבינה דמר מי שחצי עבד וחצי בן קורין is part of an הראייה then הכל עטוי ימי. But that's only in the man yom kodesh shlomis al hazeh. If you are the man yom kodesh shlomis al rishay, he was never chayev, and therefore he can't make up for what he wasn't chayev. So akol atuimai, atuim suma meakad beinav. The loki haitan, the tanya yochanan ben davoy omer mishum rav yehuda suma meakad beinav patur min ariyah shenema yirae yirae keder shabal leiraot kach bal yirot. Man leira ot b'shtei enav, af lir ot b'shtei enav. According to Tosfos, this is Yerusha. V'ibay deima, li'olam ginar min amikora. Ay, v'dekakash ha'hod ravino, which was itself a diak in the Mishnah that was based on avodim she'inam meshuchrarim, that's not a problem. Kam b'mishnah rishayna, which is what Ravina was referring to, kam b'mishnah achrona, which is what the opening of our mishnah is referring to. Titznan mishachet shevachet shevachorim, oveded rabo yom echad v'tatzvo yom echad divrei Beit Hillel, and that was the way in which the mishnah rishayna had it. In which case it would be part of an ariya. Amrula and Beit Shammai tikantem et rabo, et atzmo lo tikantem, liseh shibchai no yochol, batchorine no yochol, livatil, alo lo nivra olabel lebiri veribia, shemer lo tov vira'a, leshevet yitzara, el mipni tikun ha'olam, kofin et rabo vazot et chorin, vekotev lo shtara chatzi damar, and let him collect over the years. Vechazru Beit Hillel lahorot, kidivrei Beit Shammai. Chutz b'cheresh shoteh v'katan. Katan is cheresh dumya to shoteh v'katan. Ma shoteh v'katan delav b'nei de'a? Av cheresh delav bar de'a. V'kamash v'lakid etnan, cheresh shedibro chachamim b'chol makom is dafka she'eno shomea ve'eno medaber. Ha'medaber v'eno shomea or shomea v'eno medaber would be chayev, which is basically saying what it says in the following braita. Ha'medaber v'eno shomea zeo cheresh. Shomea ve'inu medaber zeo ilayim. And zev is zeh, harin kepikun uchol divrayim. And where do we know that that's what the word means? Ma'ed medaber ve'inu shomea zeo cheresh. Shomea ve'inu medaber zeo ilayim. Tifti v'ani kecheresh lo eshma. Uchi ilayim lo yiftach pi. V'ibayte megramin shishtak emilulay. Medaber ve'inu shomea. Shomea ve'inu medaber chayam. V'otani medaber ve'inu shomea. Shomea ve'inu medaber patur from re'iyah. Om Ravina Vitema Rava, you're right, but Fisurimachas, what are you talking? Akol Chayavim Buriya and its attendant Chayuvim, including Simcha. Chutz Becherer Shamadaber Ben Shomea, Shomea Ben Medaber, who would be Potter Menariya, that part is missing, we don't mention that. The Afa Pishamatur Menariya, you would still be Chayav the Simcha. Now the part that we do mention, Vecheinolo Shomea Velo Medaber, Vesheite Vekatan, there, patur afin asimcha, o'il, p'turim, mikol mitzvot amurot, batur ha.